You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 202. And I hope you're ready for today's episode. You're going to learn how to master your mind so you can go all in on your goals. You ready for this? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier, visibility catalyst, and founder of the Amplify Inner Circle and Mastermind. And today, I have a really awesome guest. I'm super excited to share this with you. This is someone that I connected with who is in Australia, and we had this major synergy around mindset and how we shift the way we think. He brought up some things that are really powerful and got me thinking about how I make decisions and what happens when we have to make lots of decisions. So tune in. Let me know your thoughts when you're done. Now, before you jump in, I want to talk about another place that I've been recognizing a lot of our community is a little confronted by lately, and maybe bumping up against their own mindset limits, their own mindset fears, and that's around money. Now, I want to just lay the groundwork here that I recognize we're in an extraordinary time. We are facing things that have been unprecedented, and yet there are some people who are thriving. There are some people who are able to really rise above this and plug into that inner source of wisdom and power. And then there are people who are really struggling and feeling very challenged. And there's a lot of things that are way out of our control that we cannot do anything about. But what we can control is our thinking. It's why I love mindset so much. I'm excited to bring our guest today. But how mindset plays out with our money is very, very important. And we can convince ourselves that we can make things happen, or we can convince ourselves that we can't. We can plug into confidence and courage and take big, bold leaps, or we can let all of the noise around us take us out of the game. And I think this is so important that in November of this year, I'm going to do something really special. I have been gathering some of my colleagues who share my conviction, my belief that we can plug in and do things at a whole new level when we have the right resources. So stay tuned. If you are not part of my community, you're going to want to jump in and make sure that you have access. And the best way to do that is to start with my Revenue Rush Toolkit. Now, again, this is where our mindset plays out. The tools we have at our disposal, if we can plug in and go, okay, I'm going to like try some new things. I'm going to push my boundaries. I'm going to, you know, stretch outside my comfort zone. I'm going to do some things I haven't done before to get results I haven't achieved before. Then guess what? You are going to want this toolbox, because there are some strategies and techniques I've been using for 15 years. Many of these are tried and true. They work over and over and over again. And some of them you may have tried before and forgotten about. So if you head over to yourrevenuerush.com, you will find my toolbox and download it, read it over, and make a commitment to try something you haven't tried before. This is one of the most powerful ways. This is how we create our own economy. This is how we infuse resourcefulness and achieve greatness during tough times, is we tap into tools and try new things. So enjoy the gift. Now let's get into today's episode. All right, amplifiers, we're going all in today. I have a special guest joining me to talk about how to master your mind and go all in. I'm excited to introduce you to Rob Russ. He's the founder of Go All In, a podcast centered on deep dive conversations with guests to learn from their unadulterated failures and euphoric successes. He's interviewed big names like Grant Cardone on his podcast and people from all walks of life with amazing all-in stories that listeners can draw inspiration from to do whatever it takes and to live life to its absolute maximum potential. Now, he's got over 15 years of digital marketing and business development experience, and Robert strategically connects industry experts, executives, thought leaders, and podcasters on Go All In to build connections and create impactful stories and lessons that will bring value to the world. And he's recently released a masterclass, Master Your Mind and Go All In, which is the culmination of his 15 years of entrepreneurial experience, 400 plus podcast interviews, and 10 plus years in the Army. And hopefully I can get him to share how to get access to it before we're done with today. So, hey, Rob, I'm so excited to have this chat with you today, all the way from Sydney, Australia.
G'day, Melanie. It's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for that kind introduction as well.
Hi, you're welcome. Well, you know, sometimes people cross my path and I'm like, oh, so perfect. This is exactly what I believe. This is exactly what we're all about. And mastering your mind is everything I believe in. So I I'm fascinated by this idea of go all in. And I want to start with that. Like, what does it mean to you to go all in?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's always it's a very topical thing. And when I was thinking about what to call this business, when I transitioned out of my digital marketing agency into this, I was trying to think of something around my personal brand, something to do with me, like personally as an individual. And then I was like, oh my gosh, is that what I want to do? Not really. And then what I did is I actually just looked at my life and I looked at how I make decisions and I looked at how things occur for me. And for some reason, I get a little bit of white line fever about stuff sometimes. And you know what? Once I get my mind focused on something, what I decide to do is to go all in on it. And I think it's part of the human experience. Each and every one of us knows exactly what that means. We know exactly what that feels like. And committing to something and declaring to the world that you're going to go all in is a really fun thing to do. And so I decided to call the business that. I decided to call the podcast that. And I never really looked back from there. But one of the things that it did do, or the byproduct of it, is it painted me into a bit of a corner, because people ask me to do stuff all the time. And they're like, come on, man, you're the go all in guy. You've got to come and do this. And I'm like, oh, God, I have to do that. So it's a bit of a funny byproduct of what's happened to me.
Well, it's the high class problem, being really successful at something. Everybody's got the perfect opportunity for you, right?
Apparently they do. Apparently on a Friday night, drinking beer at the pub as well.
Well, when you master go all in, my guess is you also have to master the no. That probably has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's been a big problem in my life, is not saying no enough times. But that's another story.
That's another podcast interview. So how can our, as entrepreneurs, how can our best work happen when we aren't committed like that and we go all in?
Yeah, you know, I find that people have these ideas, and you know, and this is a product of everything that I've learned over my entire career, really. The genesis of it comes from the military and being in the Navy and in the Army, and just the way that decisions are made there and the things that you have to do. And when you go on a course in the military, it's kind of like sometimes like your career's on the line. If you don't get past this course, if you don't pass this exam, you don't qualify and meet the standard that they want. That's it. That's the end of your career. You're not going any further than what you are. So in some ways, they don't hold a stick over you and threaten you or anything like that, but you really, really do have to commit. And as a young man, you know, I joined the military when I was 17 years old, and you kind of learn those habits. You learn those habits of playing full out and going all in on virtually every single thing that you do, because you really don't have much of a choice. And the people around you are doing the same things as well. And, you know, that's a good thing. So that's kind of where it all started for me. And over the years, you know, just working in business and helping people with their digital marketing and building websites and running advertising campaigns, when people go into things like that, that they're half cocked, it never really works out. And what I mean by that is that they go in there and say, yep, I want to do this. I'm committed to it. I'm ready to go. I want to make it happen. But what they're really saying is, I'm ready for you to go. I'm ready for you to make it happen for me. And I want you to do it. And the minute it gets a little bit hard, what they do is they let themselves off the hook. And when somebody lets themselves off the hook, it generally means that they're not completely committed to it. Because the minute something gets a little bit hard and you give up on it and you quit, you're really not all in on it. And what I discovered over years and years of seeing the same patterns of behavior through people, and I think that's just part of the human experience, I'm guilty of it as well, is that people make the declaration to go all in, they make the declaration to commit. But what they don't do is they don't set themselves up for success. But intuitively, we know how to do it. We know that we need a plan. We know that we need to get our ducks in a row. We know we need to make sure our finances are in order before we quit that job and go and look for something else. But people just don't do it. And I think that's because they get all hot under the collar. They get a little bit of white line fever and they're like, I'm all in. Let's do it. Let's go. But the reality is you can't do that and you shouldn't do that until you've got your head right, until you've got a plan. Because in order to get something that you haven't currently got, you need to become a different version of yourself to get there. And I saw a really good video on YouTube the other day. I really highlighted that. And this really ripped trainer, this American fella, and he says, are you watching transformation videos about fitness and health on YouTube where somebody goes from being this to being that? You know, they've lost 40 pounds. They look like $1 million. Now he or she looks like a movie star. How do you think that happened? And it was a really good reminder that in order to go from point A to point B, you need to become a different version of yourself. And in order to do that, you really have to master your mind and you need a plan to do it.
I agree. Totally. You're hitting all my hot buttons here. You know, I was wondering as you're talking, this is where my mind was going. It's like, what are the signs? Because I think a lot of people think they're all in. And I think they tell themselves they're all in, but we know they're not all in. And have you seen some signs or factors that someone's thinking they're all in, but they're not?
Yeah, it's a really easy question for me to answer after all of this time, but it's a tricky question to ask yourself. And the reason I say it's easy for me to answer is because I get a lot of correspondence from my podcast. People email me all the time. I get messages in social media. And inevitably, the theme of the question that I get is, hey, Rob, I'm thinking about doing X. What do you reckon I should do? And originally, way back when I first started this, I'd be like, well, you're talking to the all-in guy. What do you think? Go all in. Get on with it. What are you doing? And what I realized was that was not the answer that people were looking for. And what I did is I learned to ask a better question. And the better question was, well, that's really good, but what are you doing today? What are you doing right now to close the gap from where you are to where you want to be? And I really believe that that's a really good question to ask yourself. So you think that you're all in on something? Well, that's good. What are you doing right now to close the gap from where you are to where you want to be? Is your motivation and commitment high? Are you focusing on process over outcome? Have you got your time management dialed in? Are you focusing in on the right things? And are you aware of all the distractions that are around you? How is that working for you? And really, it always comes back to that one thing is, what are you doing right now, this very moment, to close the gap from where you are to where you want to be? And if you are doing something that's moving you closer towards your target, well, that's awesome. You must be all in. But if you're distracted for, you know, 30% of the day by social media, Netflix, and other social activities, and you're saying that you're all in and you're committed to something, I would ask you the question, if you lost everything today, what would you do tomorrow? And the answer to that question is, you would go all in and you would do everything humanly possible. And I would work for 18 hours a day to get my business back to where it was. And I would start again and I would go and I'd have a better idea about it. But now you're telling me you're all in now, but you're kind of distracted by social media, by Facey and Instagram and Netflix and all of these other things. Are you really all in? Come on.
Yeah, the distractions is something I want to just go a little bit deeper on, because this is the entrepreneurial plight. And the more creative you are, the more I think people have lots of ideas that they think they're supposed to pursue. Mm-hmm. And then there's the distraction of the thing that makes you money right now versus the thing you want to be all in on, which is going to liberate you from the grind or really take your business to that next level. How do you guide someone who's struggling with, I'm all in, except I've got this thing that makes all my money that I still have to go manage every day, but they're just not making enough time.
Yeah. You know, if you don't have enough time, time is managing you. And what you need to do is to manage your time. And part of it comes back to, Melody, is people don't focus on the process. They focus on the outcome. So when someone makes a declaration to go all in on something, they spend 95% of their time thinking about that thing, whatever it might be, new car, new relationship, new job, new business, new investment, whatever it might be. But they, for some reason, and again, it's part of the human experience. I don't know why people do it, but they rarely focus on the process. Because the process is the difficult, grindy, boring part of it. The outcome is the shiny, fun, joyous part of it all. And it's not very sexy concentrating on the journey. And I don't like the analogy that, you know, it's all about the journey, not about the destination. I don't really like that analogy, but that is a version of process over outcome. And if you can concentrate on process over outcome, and you can get in control of your time, so time is not managing you, then you can divide and conquer. You can divide your energy to the things that are making you money and still move towards the things that you want and the things that you've declared that you're going to go all in on. And really, it's not that hard to do. Open up your calendar. Pop open the calendar that you have in your Gmail or your email or whatever app that you use on your phone and have a look at that calendar right now. As you're listening to this podcast, I'd encourage you to have a look at your calendar right now. Have you divided your day into 15-minute blocks, into 30-minute blocks? And from the time that you get up to the time that you go to bed, have you divided your time and micromanaged your time like that? It's a really difficult thing to do, and it's a hard activity to actually remain consistent with. You might be able to do a couple of days like that, then take a few days off, and then go back to doing that again. But what you do is if you say to yourself, well, at the start of the day, I'm only going to look at my email between 9 a.m. and 9:15, and I've got 15 minutes to respond. But Rob, I've got so many things. I've got 40 emails in my inbox. Well, prioritize and execute. Which ones are the most important? Which ones are the ones that are going to make you money? And which ones are the ones that are just kind of, you're reading it because it's kind of nice and you're being distracted by it. And, you know, you might have that if you work in an office, for instance, you might do that at 9 o'clock and between 9 and 9:30, then do it at midday between midday and 12:30, and then do it again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're really only spending 45 minutes a day responding to emails and 45 minutes a day replying or reading emails. So that sort of thing can kind of eliminate distraction from your day because it's easy to go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's what causes people to get distracted. That's what causes people to focus on the outcome, not the process, because they're like, oh, damn, that target's never getting any closer. I can't get any closer to that. And that's because you're not focusing on the process of, hey, I'm only going to give myself 15 minutes to get something done. And if you really do break your day down into 15-minute blocks, it's hard to do, you'll be amazed at how much you can actually get done.
I love that. That's such great advice. And again, yeah, you're right. People, well, you do have to get committed to the outcome, and you have to be willing to do what's necessary to get to the outcome. And I think people, they fall in love with the idea, but not the process. And that's where it falls apart. That's great, great wisdom there. Yeah. You know, you said something a minute ago that I want to come back to because I think there's some gold in this concept. And you were talking about setting yourself up for success. And I would be really curious what that looks like in your book.
Yeah, routines and habits of success are part of mastering your mind. It's part of going all in. And it's one of the seven pillars, in my view. It's one of the most important things that you do. A lot of people, you know, going back to that time management thing, they're like, oh, what, I don't have enough time to concentrate. Well, get up earlier. You know, you don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning like Jocko Willink or something like that. But, you know, get up an hour earlier and just get control of your day and get control of the front of your day. And if you use the front half of your day, however your miracle morning looks, whatever that looks like for you, by the time you're ready to sit down and start doing some work and getting going for your day, you'll feel better about it because you feel like you've done an hour or 90 minutes of something for yourself. Maybe some exercise, some meditation, some outdoor activity, go outside and ground yourself, that type of thing. For me, my routine is I guess it's born out of the military a little bit. I was brainwashed as a young man to get out of bed early in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing you do is you go and get dressed and you go outside and you do physical activity or PT as it's called in the military. So that's what the start of my day looks like. It's not a 5 a.m. start every single day, but usually it's a day in the gym and a day outside. And I don't take a day off. My days off are outdoor activities. And it's not always like high intensity activity, but I definitely get out of bed and I'm ready to go for the next morning where my clothes are ready, my shoes are there. There's no excuses, rain, hail, or shine. It doesn't matter if it's cold or it's hot. I'm going anyway. Put a podcast in my ear, some music in my ear, and then I'm out the door and I'm gone for at least an hour. And again, sometimes it's in the gym, sometimes it's outside. But when I come back, it's really quick, right? It's straight into a shower. Again, my clothes are ready from the night before because I'm prepared, because I focus on the process, not the outcome. And again, that's kind of a military thing that I kept going in my entire life. It's not something that is necessarily learnt as a civvy when I left the military, but it's a really good habit that I've got into because it allows me to focus on what it is that is coming up rather than scratching my head going, oh, what am I going to wear to that meeting? Oh gosh, I've got to iron a shirt. Where's my tie? I don't have to worry about any of those things when I come back from the activity that I've done in the morning. I just eat some food, I get dressed, I get in the car and I go to the meeting if I'm going to a meeting, or I sit down at my desk or I head over to the office and get on with my day. And the more I can remove the decision-making process out of the day, the less decision fatigue that I have. So what it means is when it comes time to making decisions, I'm not like, oh God, I can't decide if it should be that color or that color, or do I like that logo or that logo, or my decision fatigue is very, very different when all of those decisions, all of the micro decisions that I have to make through my morning have gone away. And I find that that sets me up for success personally, intellectually, and spiritually at the start of the day. And it works really well for me. And I'm certain that the people listening to this podcast would have their own version of that as well.
That is brilliant. I'm so glad you brought up this whole decision fatigue, because I think that's where, you know, the devil's in the details, right? That is where things fall apart for people, is they leave themselves to make a decision about whether or not they're going to do the thing that's going to get them the results. So if you remove the decision process and it's just the way your day is structured, your chances of success go up exponentially. And I think you've just given us a great example of that.
I might give you a little bit more there for the listeners. There's a process that I use called flawless execution. And it's not mine. It's by it's created by a bunch of American fighter pilots from a company called Afterburner. And I learned it from them. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Think about it. A fighter pilot doesn't come to work in the morning and look at his mate and go, nice G-suit, man. Let's go out to the jet and go flying somewhere. They don't walk out to the flight line and get in their $60 million jet and go, what are we doing, man? They have a really detailed process of the way that they do it. And fighter pilots, as a rule, they have a 98% mission success rate. So it's a really, really high mission success rate. And they use a methodology called flawless execution. And you can use this and you can remember this. And part of what I do in the Master Your Mind Masterclass is give you tools like these to help you understand how to do things. But it's so simple, and it has to be simple, because if it's complicated, you just won't use it and you certainly won't remember it. And so flawless execution, or FLEX, is a methodology where you plan, brief, you execute, you do an X gap, and then you debrief everything that you do. And you can use the flawless execution methodology 100 times a day when it comes to making a decision. So it's all about planning. So if I have to make a decision about something, there's a 9-step planning process that fighter pilots and flawless execution goes through. Then you move to a briefing stage to make sure that you're going to go and do what it is the way that you planned it. Then you go and execute on it based on the plan and the brief that you have. And an X gap is, where am I in relation to where I said that I was going to be? How do I have, am I closing the gap from where I started to where I'm going? Yes or no? And if I'm not closing that gap, what do I need to do to close that gap? So you've got plan, brief, execute, X gap. And the biggest part of what fighter pilots do is to debrief. They come back and they might have a 2 or 3 hour debrief from a 1 hour sortie that they just went and flew. And it's all about lessons learned. What do we do right? What do we do wrong? Did we execute in accordance with our plan and our brief? And if not, why not? And you know, the best laid plans rarely last the first contact with enemy. And that is true in the military, in the infantry, as it is in business, as it is in life as well. You can have all the plans in the world, but as soon as something goes a little bit sideways, you can get rattled and things go wrong and the plan's straight out the window. So how do you prevent that from happening? And I love the flawless execution model because it's really easy to remember. Plan, brief, execute, X gap, and debrief.
All right. So I got to dig into flawless execution. Great name. Mm-hmm. How does that apply to something like 2020, a global pandemic, right? And I think a lot of people are facing this, true? But, you know, it's a brilliant model, because there are going to be times where you have to be willing to take the plan and, you know, pivot it in a new direction and then execute the way you just suggested. But how are you guiding people with what's happening right now?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's about adaptability, right? And yes. Once upon a time, business was all about productivity and efficiency. And it still is, you know, whatever business that you have, whether it's a manufacturing company, a digital marketing agency, or a coaching business, you need to be as productive as you can, meaning you shouldn't be sitting there on a daily basis working out what to put in your social media content strategy. That should have been done long ago with a plan, with a brief and executing. And you should be having an XGAP meeting once a week with a social media marketing person that's looking after your stuff. And at the end of the week, you debrief it. What went right? What went wrong? Did we stick to our plan? So stuff like that should come off your desk completely. And so what I would say, that's about being efficient. That's about being productive and having best use of your time and not spending time on things that you're not an expert in. Give that to somebody else that is an expert. What I would say in crazy pandemic times in 2020 is that adaptability is the absolute key. And I would really encourage people to have a look at a book by a fellow named General Stanley McChrystal. And he's the guy who was in charge of special operations when we first went into Iraq. And everybody was getting their asses handed to them, if I could say that on your podcast. And no one could work out why a bunch of ragtag militia with weapons from the 1970s were beating the most brilliant fighting force humanity have ever seen. And what it came down to in the end was adaptability. The folks on the enemy side were more adaptable. And what Stanley McChrystal found was that the military had a management problem and it was really, really rigid. And it wasn't until they started adapting those rigid processes to go, well, that's not working. Try something else. Try that, try that, try that, try that. And boom, they got it and they found the solutions to the problem. And really what they did at the end of the day was they decentralized everything and they used that concept of adaptability to actually maneuver on the battlefield and win. And that's how they went from a losing position to a winning position. And it took a long time. We all know the history of it. But I'd encourage people to look at that. That book's called Team of Teams. If this topic that we're talking about today is something that resonates with you, that is like the number one book that you could actually go and look at. It's just fantastic. Fantastic audio book as well. I've got both. I've got the audio book and the hard copy, and I've read them both. I've listened probably about four or five times, and I've read the physical book a couple of times. It's like a reference book for me. But I really believe that that concept of adaptability is the key here in 2020. What is it that your business can do that it wasn't currently doing that can solve a problem and plug a gap? And that's easy for me sitting here when my business is working. There's plenty of businesses that are facing customers, that are facing shop fronts, and they just don't have any people because of lockdowns, because of social distancing, because economies aren't doing as well as they could be. There's a whole bunch of reasons why what I'm saying doesn't work because it's not applicable in that space. But if you have an online business and you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you're running an e-com store, there's a bunch of things that you can do in terms of adaptability to keep moving forward and don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. Just stick with it. Hard times don't last and hard times make hard people. And when you go through hard times like we're going through right now, on the other side of that are the most prosperous boom times you've ever seen. Think about what happens at the end of all of this. If suddenly a vaccination comes in the next 48 hours, worldwide distribution, the stock market will rally, consumer sentiment rallies, people will come out, everything comes really good and life will go back to what it was. But before it goes back to what it was, it will have a huge acceleration and we'll be on a really steady upward gradient for a little while, I suspect. But right now, while we're down here in the weeds, adaptability is the key.
I love it. Yes, that was the mic drop moment, friends, as you're listening in. I want you to write down on a post-it, tattoo it on the inside of your arm, put it on pen in your forehead, whatever works for you. But the theme is adaptability. And yeah. What I was hearing as you're talking is you can go all in on the idea that you will find a way to thrive, you will find a way to survive this, if that's the only thing you can go all in on right now.
Yeah, totally. 100%. I couldn't agree with you more on that point.
Let's tell people a little bit about this masterclass that you're offering, and hopefully you'll share with us how we can sign up to participate in it.
Yeah, thanks, Melanie. I appreciate the opportunity to share that with your audience as well. So you can visit just goallin.com.au/masterclass. And you can see it all there, and there's all the details of it there as well. It's really about taking everything that I've talked about here, and I've boiled down what it means to me to go all in and to commit. And really, it's a little bit more than that as well, because it's the go all in thing that I've been doing. I've been at it now for a couple of years, but the reality is, I've been on this planet now for 43 years, and 10 years in the military was the greatest honor of my life, to serve and to be able to do that for my country. And I look back at that time so fondly, And I learned so much because I had the most incredible leaders and the most incredible mentors. And when I left the military and I first had a business, I had a really incredible mentor as well. He happened to be an Aussie fella who was an ex-Vietnam veteran, and he was in special forces in the US Army, but he was an Aussie. So me and my two mates, a couple of ex-soldiers with this guy who was our mentor, and he was a retired CEO of a pharmaceutical company from Italy. And so he had this like massive, extensive corporate experience and this corporate background and working with one of the biggest companies in Europe and all that sort of stuff. And there we were, three little lonely ex-soldiers trying to make our way in the world. And I had some really incredible experiences with that fella and just learning about myself and sharing the ability to share what I learned in my masterclass has been a really cathartic experience for me. So it's more than a masterclass. It's more about life as well. And what I do is I've boiled it down to seven pillars. And if you want to develop an elite mindset and you want to go all in and you want to focus on a goal, then you need motivation and commitment. So in these seven different modules, in these seven little pillars to success, we talk about why you need to get these things dialed in. And I'll give really practical, simple explanations. And I'll also give you some really simple exercises to do and a bunch of resources there as well. And the idea is that you don't just sit there and watch the videos and go, oh, that's cool, motivation and commitment. Now I've got more motivation and I'm more committed than ever. You can't leave those videos and you can't not watch that stuff without going, oh, that was really easy to remember. Now I know how to implement that into my life. And I was really careful in the way that I crafted it to make sure that what I shared was really practical, it was executable, and it would stick with you over the long term as well. So we've got elite mindset, motivation and commitment, process over outcome, time management, focus and awareness, routines and habits of success, and self-control and discipline. And they're the seven pillars to master your mind and go all in.
Yeah, that sounds really enticing. So goallin.com/au/masterclass. I will link that up in the show notes as well as this book that was mentioned, Team of Teams. So I'll find that for you all and link it up in the show notes. Rob, this is the moment that I love to ask my guests what was like your boldest move you've had to make up to now to get where you are right now in business?
Yeah, I love that question. It's such a good podcasting question. For me, it was detaching myself from my digital marketing agency. I was working with my brother and him and I were doing the same things for, must have been 8 or 9 years. And then we're like, hey, why don't we do this together? And we decided to come together in business and do that. And we did well. And I focused on all the sales and I was always in front of clients. I was helping people. And it's one of those businesses that, you know what, I could do that forever because the phone would ring every single day because both of us had been at it for long enough to have a whole bunch of inbound inquiry. You pick up the phone and someone's like, hey, can you help me fix this? Sure, $800. Can you help me fix this? $400. You know, and you would be fixing people's problems like a car mechanic in some ways from a digital perspective. And some days you'd pump in like $5,000 and $6,000 worth of that type of work. And then I would go away and win a website for $25,000 and AdWords campaigns and social media marketing and all this sort of stuff. And one day I said to my brother, I'm out, man. I'm done. And he said, well, where are you going? Are you going on a holiday? And I said, no, I'm out. I'm out completely. I can't do this anymore. And he said, why not? And I said, I just can't do it. It's not in me anymore. I don't have the passion for it. I can't give this to clients because I just can't do it. And I just didn't want to do it. And it was a defining moment for me where I had to write down a list of things that were interesting to me. And I wrote down a list of half a dozen things. It was like, one was aviation. So I went and got my commercial pilot's license. Two was motorbikes. I applied for a few jobs to go and sell motorbikes and no one would have me because I was too overqualified and I had no experience. And I think maybe I was a little bit too old really, to be honest with you. And the third one was media. I wanted to do more media. And I thought to myself, well, what can I do in media? I'm like, well, I'm not going to uni and going and studying to be a journalist because there's so many unemployed journalists out there. They're worse than actors. You know, so I didn't want to be drawn into that. And I thought, well, maybe I can be a YouTuber because that's the future. But before I get into YouTube and doing all of that stuff, why don't I just kick off with learning how to podcast properly? And that was a defining moment for me. It really was, because I had to let go of everything that the digital marketing agency was. And there I was, right back at square one in my life, literally at square one, with no income, no prospect of an income. And it's all up to me in a new career that I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about. But what I did have was a deep passion for it. And I really, really wanted to engage with people. I love to tell stories. I love to be on interviews like this. I love to share my experience and my knowledge. But most of all, I love to hear other people's experience, and I love to hear their stories. And I love to have that conversation and to do those things. And I really wish that I'd discovered this earlier in my life, because I think my whole adult life would be much different to what it is today, because I really enjoy what I do. Today, for instance, I've got 4 interviews. I've got 3 more to do after this one with you. And tomorrow I've got none. And on Friday, I've got another 4 more to do. So this week will be 8 podcasting interviews over a period of 2 days. And that's a lot of work, right? That's a lot of interviews, that's being in front of a lot of people and having a lot of these types of conversations. But I love every single thing that I do. And, you know, it's true when they say, if you find something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And it was an absolute defining moment for me when I decided that I was going to quit the agency. I was not going to go and be a pilot because I was too old to do that. And I didn't want to take such a big pay cut. No one would have me to go and sell motorbikes. So I had to do it myself. I dug in and I went all in, and you know what? It paid off. It really did. I took a gamble and it paid off for me. And it was a hugely scary thing at the time. And even looking back at it, recounting it now, I realized that, man, that was actually pretty silly. I didn't follow my own advice. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have an elite mindset. I wasn't focusing on process over outcome. My time management was terrible, but I won anyway, because I had a commitment to success.
Because you were all in.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love that story. And I'm so glad you shared it, because I think sometimes people need to hear that it is possible to massively shift out of something that's burning you out. You're not motivated by anymore. It's not lighting your fire. It's okay to walk away from it, even if you spent a fortune building it. Even yeah. if it's financially the silliest decision you've ever made, you've got to chase the fire. You got to chase the fire.
No question, right? Like money's, I was talking to a HR person the other day about what it means to hire good staff, you know, and the reason I was asking this HR person about that is I did a podcast earlier in the week with this really ultra successful entrepreneur, you know, he had about 5 or 6 10-figure business. He was massively successful. And he said to me, my superpower is people. My superpower is hiring the right people and putting the right people in the right places. And we were talking about how money is rarely a motivating factor. And my business with my brother was financially pretty good. It did well. It was one of those businesses you could just do forever. You could just rock up to work and do some work, answer the phone and help people. Or I could rock up to work and drink coffee and go to meetings all day. It was really kind of up to me. It was a good life, and it still is. I still lead a good life like that. But I could do that forever, but money wasn't a motivating factor. And because I'm the owner of the business, I'm the boss of the business, there's nowhere else to go. And there's no real culture, you know, and we'd hired people and I'd had all of that stuff and we still had those sorts of things. It was like, yeah, you know, it's just wasn't lighting my fire. It wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. And it doesn't matter if that's your own business or it's a corporate job. I think it's really important that you find what it is that helps motivate you. And what is it that gets you out of bed every day? You know, what is it that lights your fire? And it's a good question to ask yourself every couple of months, really.
I love it. Thanks so much for joining us today. I love your principle of go all in. And I, as you're listening in, I want to ask you a very powerful question right here. Are you all in? Are you really all in? And I want to inspire you to jump on Rob's masterclass. Again, we'll put the link in the show notes. We're also going to continue this conversation in the Amplify Your Success community. If you're already a member there, it's free. But I want to hear what you're all in on. And I want you to tell me that you went and signed up for Rob's masterclass and what you learned that's going to help you go all in. So let's keep this massive momentum going that Rob's kicked off for us today. Keep the energy high and chase that fire, right, Rob?
Absolutely. Yeah. So whatever it is you're doing on, whatever you're working on, just get busy. You can get to it and go all in.
That's right. Thanks so much, Rob. And I can't wait to hear your takeaways from today's episode. And if you are as fired up as I am, make sure you share this episode on your social media, tag Rob, and let him know you loved what you heard today. Bye, everybody. This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.